The open application model allows developers to easily describe applications using an open and portable spec. McKinsey and Sadanva are here to show how it brings a modular, extensible, and portable design to building and delivering cloud-native applications on platforms like Kubernetes, today on Azure Friday. Hey everyone, Donovan Brown here with another episode of Azure Friday. I'm here with Sadanva and McKinsey, and we're going to learn about the open application model. So talk to me about what this open application model is and why I care.
So the open application model is something that we announced with Alibaba back in October.
Okay.
And the whole point of the spec is to make it easy for developers to describe cloud-native apps.
Cloud-native apps. So this is going to be any type of app that's going to run in the cloud, or are we right now in a specific area of type of applications?
We're really looking at kind of once customers have lifted and shifted their microservices and they're starting to use cloud-native frameworks, we want to be able to provide them with a spec that makes it easy to describe their app.
So is this going to allow me to do things like app service and storage accounts, or are we talking more specifically just containerized? Because you said microservices in your description, so that leads me to think more containers, small, lightweight type of applications.
Yeah, so right now we have a focus on containers, but the specification itself doesn't make any opinions on the type of execution. And the runtimes that we support today are Kubernetes, but we expect that there will be more runtimes like possibly app services and other clouds.
Okay, so what does this look like to me as a developer? So what does this happen?
So as a developer, once you're done packaging your application, so you write your code, it doesn't interfere with your actual writing of the code, but once you're done writing your code and you want to package it and deploy it on an environment, as a developer, you only want to focus on what your code needs and not necessarily the infrastructure.
Right.
So as a developer, you're just writing a much smaller and much more focused YAML that will describe your application.
So we talked about the infrastructure for a second. I have a DevOps background, so I'm thinking about things like infrastructure as code. Is the infrastructure upon which my application's going to be deployed already provisioned for me, or is it provisioned as part of this model that we're describing?
So the infrastructure should already be provisioned.
Yes. So this is, okay, so I would still have needed to do infrastructure as code as part of my pipeline to provision the application, but how it gets deployed there is now actually going to be handled by this.
Exactly. Yeah. So the infrastructure already exists, and there will be an implementation on the infrastructure. And as the application developer and the operator of the application, you only need to author the OM spec and not necessarily all of the Kubernetes YAMLs or any other platforms.
Okay, so are you telling me that I get to trade all the YAML that I've written for kubectl and for Helm charts, and all I have to do now is write the OM charts, or do I have to do or OM YAML, or do I have to do more than that?
Yeah, so one of the common feedback we had when we were building this was developers wanted to maintain the tools that they're familiar with in the ecosystem.
Okay.
So kubectl and Helm were both tools that they wanted to keep using. So we built the spec in a way that you can use kubectl to deploy the spec to the Kubernetes platform, or you can package it up as a Helm chart. So we want to play well with the ecosystems that are like already there.
Okay, so show me more about it.
Cool. So what is the open app model? The open app model is a platform agnostic spec. So we wanted to make sure that the specification takes no opinions on the platform that it's built on.
So this is not an Azure specific solution, like ARM templates or something like that. This I can use it if I'm deploying to Kubernetes on-prem, in Azure, my cloud, or someone else's.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we partnered with Alibaba very intentionally because they also have their own platforms that are not necessarily Kubernetes. And we wanted to make sure that the specification right out of the gate is battle tested on multiple environments.
Gotcha. Okay, great.
Yeah, and as I mentioned already, we want to have various implementations of it. So we expect that the specification will have more implementations than just Kubernetes, perhaps K3s on the edge, and certain managed services as well.
All right, got it.
So first of all, the first core tenet of the application model is that it's completely app-focused. So we wanted to make sure that the specification takes a focus on applications and the dependencies. So an example is, as a developer, I want to describe to you what my code does and how it's supposed to run. And what are the parameters that you as the operator can override?
Okay.
One of the things that we found really quickly was that we're not just targeting developers. A lot of big enterprises have this separation where they have developer teams and operations teams, and they wanted to make sure that the specification will work in their space as well. So it kind of became a social problem at that point.
Good, yeah, because again, DevOps being my background and the infrastructure being a question that I had right off the top, this sounds like this could be another opportunity for them to collaborate.
Absolutely.
Right, and make sure that the OM spec is going covering all their governance and compliance from an operations standpoint, yeah. but meeting all my needs as a developer and what I'm going to need deployed in my infrastructure.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, got it.
And the specifications split up into parts that play well with each of these personas.
Okay.
So it'll have things like components that we envision the developer persona to be writing.
I see.
We have an application configuration that we envision the application operator to be authoring. And they not necessarily have to be different people, mm-hmm. but it's just the tasks for each of these personas.
Got it.
Are separated.
Okay.
And the last one is kind of a future-looking thing, which is we want to make sure that this specification can also run on the edge. So as more and more enterprises have this hybrid setup where they're not just betting on one cloud, they're betting on on-premise, and they even have edge deployments, the specification will span more than just containers in the future.
I see. So I will actually be able to define even the portions of my application that are running on the edge
yes.
on all these IoT devices as this is how you deploy to that endpoint.
Exactly.
Okay, got
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Cool. So let's take a look at how it works and kind of the different parts of the spec.
Okay.
So the open app model is kind of the separation between the infrastructure and all of the application constructs. So the very first thing is you're coming in as a developer, you write your code, you package it as containers, and then we have this thing called a component where you describe what your code is supposed to do.
Okay.
And that's the component. Next, the application operator can stitch together a bunch of these components in something called the app config. So the application configuration takes these components and creates instances of them.
Okay.
And you can then deploy this application, it's called the Ohm app, to any environment via the implementations.
All right. And are these also configurable to where I can, because one of the things that we do is we deploy to more than one environment.
Yeah.
We do dev, QA, and prod. Do
yeah.
I have to create a Ohm application for each one of them, or can I parameterize them so I can change those as I deploy it?
Yeah, that was one of the things that we really wanted to nail. So there are parameters for everything in the spec.
Okay.
And you can override each of them for the environment that you want to target.
Gotcha. And I'm still struggling to figure out now why is this so much different than what I did with Helm charts, right? Because I parameterized those, I deployed those multiple times. I could use the Helm chart on any Kubernetes cluster that I wanted. So again, sell me on why this is cooler than just me doing Helm charts.
Yeah, so the one kind of difference between this and Helm charts is that this is very much focused on apps. And it's not focused on Kubernetes specifically.
That's right. Because you said that's the only thing that we're doing today. And that's why I'm having that struggle. But when we start to move this to the edge, when we start adding PaaS services like app services
yeah.
and functions and things like this, now all of a sudden, instead of having to learn how to deploy to an app service and how to deploy to Kubernetes and how to deploy to the edge, I just define one of these, and then all that stuff is taken care of
exactly.
for me.
Got exactly.
it. All right, that makes sense.
And as the application operator, you might want to override the components with certain traits. So we have introduced this thing called the traits model, where you can add things like ingress to your components. And you can add auto-scaling rules to different components.
Oh, cool. Okay.
And with all of these, the core there was, as the operator of the application, you shouldn't care about how these traits are provided to you.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to state that, hey, I need ingress for my application. But you don't necessarily care how the infrastructure operator is providing ingress for you.
Gotcha.
Whether it's via an Azure load balancer on Azure, it could be with F5 on-prem.
Okay.
And the specification makes no, it doesn't ask that you provide what ingress you're providing.
Got it. Okay, great.
So a little bit about the implementation that we open sourced with Alibaba. It's called Rudder. And Rudder is a controller that runs on Kubernetes.
Okay.
And the flow is very much the same. So you have the Ohm application YAML. As I mentioned, you can use kubectl to deploy to the Kubernetes cluster.
Okay.
And what's happening here is you're describing the spec, which has all of these Ohm constructs. And the Rudder controller understands these and translates it into Kubernetes.
Got it. So I just have this service running inside my cluster that's Rudder.
Yes.
Right? And then what I'm doing when I'm executing one of these commands is I'm essentially sending commands straight to Rudder and say, here's the spec, go do your magic. And then magic happens inside
exactly.
my cluster.
Yeah.
Got it. So Rudder, then, when you're talking, I keep thinking beyond just containers.
Yeah.
I guess inside of Azure, we're going to have an endpoint that would be a Rudder endpoint that I'd be able to target
yep.
to deploy my other infrastructure.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Or
okay.
my other app into that infrastructure.
Exactly.
All right. Got it.
And the other option is you package it as a Helm chart.
Okay.
So in the repositories, we have examples of how this spec and the YAMLs interact with the rest of the ecosystem. So
okay.
with packaging tools like CNAB,
mm-hmm.
With Helm charts, and also Azure DevOps for your actual DevOps pipeline.
Perfect.
Exactly.
Cool. So to get up and running with Ohm, you really have to be familiar with four main constructs.
Okay.
We'll start with the component. So the component is where developers are going to define the operational characteristics of their code in an infrastructure-neutral way. So essentially what that means is you're going to go through, you'll include your typical metadata, right? What you want to call this,
sure.
What version, a description. And below that, when we get into specification, this is where you're going to define how you interpret it to be run. So okay. Here we have a workload type of a server. This means that as a developer, I want whatever application operator to know that this is something that's intended to be run with more than one instance.
Okay.
There should be a service endpoint associated with it. And it's daemonized. So if it exits for whatever reason, it's going to be restarted.
Okay.
Other than that, I include the typical information. So we are referencing parameters earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So if I want something to be overridden by my application operator later on, this is how they would do so. And then your typical container information with your ports, environment variables, you can add on readiness and liveliness probes as well.
Okay, got it.
From there, we might want to tack on additional operational functionality. So we specified that we wanted this to be replicated, but we didn't necessarily say how many replicas we needed to run. As an application developer, I might not necessarily care about that. That's where something like a manual scaler trait would be really useful.
Okay.
So your application operator comes in and says, I'm going to need this many replicas running of it. That's how they do so. Other traits could be ingress, auto-scaling,
right.
Volume mapper, anything that you need to add operational functionality beyond just that core component. This is how you plug it in.
All right, and the trait is its own YAML file that defines, like you said, what it is and the characteristics and the parameters. And I can add as many of these as I need to a component.
Yes.
To make sure that it gets populated correctly.
Yes.
Okay.
And so Router has several supported traits.
Mm-hmm.
And all you really have to know is the parameters associated with the trait.
Okay.
So manual scaler just takes the replica count, and then what workload types it applies to. So here it's only applying to server, worker, task. It wouldn't make sense to add this to a singleton server because that implies that there should be only one instance
sure.
running.
Okay.
From there, if you're writing a true microservice application, you're probably going to have multiple components running.
Mm-hmm.
And you might want to group them based on common characteristics.
Okay.
So that's where we came up with the idea of an application scope. So anything that has a similar characteristic, let's say they need to belong in the same network scope, I would apply them there. Another example of a scope could be a health scope. So if I needed to see the aggregate health of certain components, I could apply that as well.
Okay.
What's cool about scopes is that they can overlap, and you don't necessarily have to have this hard, rigid boundary around your application. You
gotcha.
Can define it fairly fluidly.
Okay.
And lastly, we need a way to deploy this all. So your application configuration is where everything comes together. Component schematics on their own is just simply a recipe of sorts of how your component should run. It's not actually an instantiated running unit.
Okay.
Application configuration is how you do that. It's also where your application operator will come in. It'll add your necessary traits. So here we have an example of someone adding an ingress trait to their component. And after that, they can go ahead and deploy this unit, and you should be up and running.
Okay, so that ingress trait that's being added here
yes.
was defined as a trait previously, or this is just one of the out-of-the-box supported ones?
So with Router, it's an out-of-the-box supported core trait.
Okay.
So I know, visiting Router, that there are certain parameters, host name, path, and a port.
Okay.
That's all I have to be concerned with specifying.
Gotcha. And can you? We keep talking about the out-of-the-box traits. Can I extend them and add my own traits and things like that as well?
Yeah. So we have main categories of traits. So core, which means any implementation of Ohm has to have this trait in the exact set of parameters.
Okay.
Standard is we're recommending you follow it, but you're not required to. It could be implementation specific. And then there's extension. So this gives you the most flexibility.
Gotcha.
So within that, different traits belong to the different categories.
Awesome. So this is going to be a framework that we're going to be able to use to abstract the actual deployment of our applications, regardless of what infrastructure they're using on. Today, we're currently using it with Kubernetes.
Yep.
But this is something clearly Microsoft is investing in going forward to make. It's almost like an abstraction layer for us as developers, right?
Exactly.
But it also appears to be a collaboration hub because it has concerns for both the dev and the ops
and
where they can. Right, clear delineations almost of where they're going to actually be involved in this process as well. Right, great. And I think in a future show, you're going to come back and actually show us this in action, right?
Yes. Yep.
All right, so this has been a great intro because we are learning all about the open application model here on Azure Friday.